Welcome to day number 117 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards. We're in the fifth commandment. We're looking at the different forms of authority, not just mother and father, but also church and state and job and everything else. We're looking at the church. Yesterday we looked at the difference between the invisible and the visible church, and today we look at church censures, which is found in chapter 33 of the Westminster Confession of Faith. Here's what section 1 says. The Lord Jesus, as King and head of his church, has therein appointed a government, in the hand of church officers, distinct from the civil magistrate. Here are the proof texts, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now this is significant. It's significant what the Bible says, and it's not necessarily what the Westminster Confession of Faith is saying, but it's significant for us to ask, what is the Bible saying? The Confession says that there is a church government which is distinct from the civil government. Then the Confession quotes Isaiah 9 and 6, which is talking about government. Now the question is God in the Bible talking about church government, or is he talking about civil government when he says the government will be upon the Messiah's shoulder, when the Messiah is called the Prince of Peace, and the increase of his government and peace upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice? Premillennialists believe that when Jesus returns, he will occupy the throne of David. And the traditional picture of this is that this throne is somewhere in Jerusalem, and he rules the world from Jerusalem. I don't think that any premillennialist believes that this government and this peace and judgment and justice upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom is only church government. And the civil magistrate government, the government of over all the everything other than church, is going to be held by, I don't know, Barack Obama or Caesar or Hitler or Stalin or some civil governor. I think what most Christians believe, and certainly premillennialists believe, that when Jesus returns, he has all government, church and state, all government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, if that's true, and for postmillennialists, it's not any different. Christ, I think, wields the power of all government, both church and state. So, the question is, how extensive is church government? I would say that at the time of Moses, that there was only church government. There was no civil magistrate. Israel didn't have a civil magistrate until 1 Samuel chapter 8, when they said, we want a king. We want a civil magistrate like all the other nations. Before that, they had elders, and they had priests, and they had Levites, and they had all that they needed. They did not need a king. And when they wanted a king, God said they were rejecting God from being their king. Okay, let's look at the next few passages. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Rule well. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and which are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. Acts 20, verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know how from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Hebrews 13:7, 17, and 24. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they have watch over your souls, or for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. Now, this word rule is different from the word in Mark chapter 10. Remember, in Mark chapter 10, the disciples are arguing over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus says, the kings of the Gentiles love to rule over others. The Greek word is they love to be archists. It's the polar opposite of an anarchist. They love to rule. They love to boss people around. They love to have control and power. They like to impose their will on others by force. But Jesus says, it shall not be so. It must not be so among you. You, rather, shall be servants. Now, the words here in Hebrews 13, it's a different word for rule. And I think everybody would agree that the church officers are not to rule in the same way that civil officers are allegedly supposed to rule, and that is to use the sword. 1 Corinthians 12:28, continuing with the proof text here for the first section in chapter 33 of the Confession of Faith, 1 Corinthians 12:28, God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And then Matthew 28:18, then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you all the way even to the end of the age. Amen. So the question I'd like to have you think about is this church government. How extensive is it? And is there another kind of government which is legitimate? Was there in Israel a legitimate government other than church government? Let's look at section 2 of chapter 33 of the Westminster Confession of Faith. To these officers, the keys of the kingdom of heaven are committed, by virtue whereof they have power, respectively, to retain and remit sins, to shut that kingdom against the impenitent, both by the word and censures, and to open it to penitent sinners by the ministry of the gospel, and by absolution from censures, as occasion shall require. Absolution from censures? I'll bet you haven't heard that phrase ever. And certainly your church has never engaged in the absolution of censures, because your church has probably never censured anyone. Matthew 16:19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Matthew 18, they give us only 17 and 18, but we should remember the context. If someone offends you, you go to them and you try to win your brother. If they don't hear you, then you bring two or three witnesses. Now verse 17, if he shall neglect to hear them, the witnesses, then tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and as a publican. The word publican, of course, means tax collector. So, if he doesn't hear the church, let him be unto you as a heathen man and a tax collector. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. John 20:21, then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they have been retained. 2 Corinthians 2:6, sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore, I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. All right, the question is, are the keys of the kingdom and binding and remitting sins, does that only have to do with some kind of religious sin, or does it have to do with something that we might call a civil infraction? The keys of the kingdom of heaven, is that just a religious and churchly thing, or is that something that has a broader authority? Well, our time is just about up. We've gone 10 minutes. We'll come back tomorrow. We'll look at sections 3 and 4 of the Westminster Confession of Faith, Chapter 33, on church censures. And remember, we're trying to define government. We're trying to define church government and civil government and find out what degree of authority each of these have, according not just to the Westminster Standards, but according to the Scriptures. So we'll see you tomorrow on day 118.